This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is On the Media. Brooke Gladstone is off this week. I'm Bob Garfield.
In Washington, the U.S. Justice Department filed a new 18-count indictment against WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange. It accuses him of publishing thousands of secret documents and endangering people who help U.S. forces in Iraq and Afghanistan.
A month ago, when WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange was indicted for conspiring to assist leaker Chelsea Manning in the theft of government secrets, some saw the charge as but the first shoe to drop. They were right. Thursday saw an indictment against Assange under the Espionage Act.
And they go a long way beyond the initial indictment against Julian Assange, which was made public last month.
Long way beyond, because if the prosecution is successful, journalists and their organizations can literally be punished like spies. The nation has seen no such frontal assault on the First Amendment since the publication of the Pentagon Papers 48 years ago. James Goodale, former general counsel for the New York Times, defended the Times in that case, and he joins us now. Jim, welcome to OTM.
Thank you.
When Assange was first indicted a month ago, accused essentially of using encryption to hide his role in a conspiracy to hack the government, First Amendment watchdogs such as yourself sounded alarms. On this show, we said, okay, I said, slow down. It's not an attack on a journalist conducting journalism. It's an attack on burglary. And the watchdog said, oh yeah, just you wait and see. Well, we waited, and now we do see. What just happened?
The government has indicted Julian Assange for conspiring with Chelsea Manning with respect to the leaks that Manning made to him. And so, in a nutshell, what has happened is Assange has been made responsible for Manning's crimes by saying he agreed to do all this with Manning, so the two of them are the same.
Now, again, I'd argued a month ago that Assange wasn't being charged for a journalistic crime, but for conspiring to break and enter, just as a New York Times reporter would likely be prosecuted for supplying burglary tools for a leaker trying to break into a government records room. But this prosecution clearly criminalizes the journalistic process, no?
Yes, it does. It means that the journalist who tries to get classified information is really now under a cloud because he can be tried under criminal laws for just gathering information. So that amounts, as you say, to criminalizing the journalistic process.
Back in the day, you litigated on behalf of the New York Times and the Pentagon Papers matter when the Times and the Washington Post both published the secret Pentagon-commissioned History of the Vietnam War that was leaked by Defense Department consultant Daniel Ellsberg. Is this deja vu for you?
This is deja vu, as Yogi Berra said, all over again. In the Pentagon Papers case, you had pre-publication. That's what lawyers call a civil case. The only penalty would be that you couldn't publish. No fine, no nothing. This case is post-publication. In other words, Assange has already published what he's going to publish. The New York Times, by the way, published what Assange published. And now he's being tried under the criminal laws for what he published as a criminal. So it's really two sides of the same coin. First, pre-publication, New York Times. Post-publication, Julian Assange.
The indictment seems to frame the charges as being in receipt of stolen secrets versus publishing stolen secrets. So not exactly parallel to the Pentagon Papers. Is it a distinction without a difference?
No, I think there is a difference, but I like to put it as being two sides of the same coin. First, you can go ahead and publish, but if you do, you may have to face criminal penalties. So for me, it's just the same thing.
The Espionage Act, back in whenever it was passed, 1917?
Yes, 1917.
Was presumably enacted to punish spies who steal and receive government secrets to benefit a foreign power. Presumably, it wasn't meant to chill domestic journalism. But do we know that? And what have the courts had to say on that matter?
Well, we know that because at the time the act was presented to Congress, the senators who passed the act ultimately made it very clear it was not to impede First Amendment freedoms. And we know, furthermore, that as a consequence of that approach to the Espionage Act, no case has ever been brought since 1917, such as the case brought against Assange for gathering information.
It's not just that you saw this coming a month ago when the first charge was filed. You've seen it coming for decades.
I have been worried about this for 50 years. I've been particularly worried about it at the time of the publication by Assange because Obama convened a grand jury to indict Assange. We were lucky. Obama decided not to prosecute. But now here we have this prosecution.
You believe that the Department of Justice, through Republican administration and Democratic, ever since the Nixon administration, has been kind of licking its chops for an opportunity to expand the purview of the Espionage Act to include journalistic leaks.
Well, the Justice Department wants to put in place what Brits call an Official Secrets Act. They want the three building blocks. One, they want to get the leaker, Ellsberg. Two, they want to get the leaky, Assange. Three, at some point, they want to get the publisher of the New York Times. And if they get all three blocks, then they can really cut off the leaking of classified information because everyone's going to be scared to death.
In any event, this isn't exactly a done deal. How will this case likely proceed?
Well, this case is very complicated and is going to go on for a long period of time. Let's start with Assange. Where is he now? He's in jail. Why is he in jail? Because he jumped bail because the Swedes wanted to prosecute him for sex offenses. So first, he's got to get out of jail. Secondly, he's not here. He's there. That is to say, he's in the UK. So he has to be extradited. There has to be an extradition hearing. There will be an appeal of the extradition hearing, not only to the UK courts, but perhaps to international courts. That's all going to take a long period of time. And guess what? The Swedes now want him too. So the Swedes and the Americans will fight over his body, and that's going to take time. So I don't know if in my lifetime we'll ever see the end of this.
I think we've established that you saw coming things that I didn't necessarily see coming. Are there questions that I should have asked you now that I neglected to pose?
No, I think that the big missing link, so to speak, with respect to coverage of this was that a lot of people didn't see the First Amendment issue that's raised by the criminal prosecution of a leakee, or the fact that what the United States is trying to do is create an Official Secrets Act through judicial fiat. So everyone, I think everyone sort of missed that, but it seems to me you have focused on that in this program, so I think you're doing fine.
Hey, well, you haven't seen our Twitter feed. It's been a rough day for me.
Has it?
Oh, my goodness gracious.
I was pretty nice to you, I thought.
you were. I mean, I heard some whispers that you were annoyed, but it's been a full frontal assault on Twitter.
I calmed down. I only got angry as I drove down in the cab because I've been telling every journalist I've seen over the last 6 years that this was going to happen. So I was frustrated that I couldn't persuade any of my journalist friends that this was a problem, and most of them were screaming and yelling at me for being a jerk, so, you know.
Jim, thank you.
You're totally welcome.
James Goodale was general counsel for the New York Times during the Pentagon Papers trial. Coming up, Reckoning with War Crimes by Pardons and Otherwise. This is On the Media.